Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
I want you to stand to your feet with me. We're going to grab your Bible. We're going to read three passages of Scripture. We're going to read one from Genesis and two from Exodus. And so you can go ahead and turn with me to Genesis, the second chapter. If you don't have your Bible or you don't have it on your phone or your tablet or whatever you're using, it will be on the screen today so that you can follow along. I'm going to read each of these passages of Scripture from the New King James Version of the Bible, and then we'll pray. You can be seated, and we'll talk about what the Lord's put on my heart today. Genesis chapter 2, verse 3, it says this, "Then God blessed the seventh day, and he sanctified it." That word sanctified literally means to set something apart. So God literally chose at the beginning of time, after all of creation, he created the world in 6 days. On the seventh day, he said, "That moth is going to drive me crazy." Come here, dude. I missed him. Eventually, I'll get him. Some of you guys are like, man, he's not going to be on our softball team. Got him. All right. Thank you, Pastor Lauren. Appreciate it. Man, it took me 4 or 5 times. That means I struck out. Oh, well. At least he's gone. God bless the moth. All right. So God sanctified. I'm sorry, but that was going to bother me. That was going to bother some of you guys. It's better to get it out of the way, right? God blessed the seventh day. He sanctified it. He literally set aside a whole day and said, this day is set apart. It's sacred. It's holy. In fact, that's why we are in church today, is because we believe that there should be a day that is the Lord's day, that is set apart, that is sacred. Now, you may say, well, didn't God do the seventh day? Wouldn't that be Saturday? The reason that we observe Sunday as our Sabbath, our holy day, is because Sunday is the day that Jesus rose from the grave and he defeated death, hell, and the grave. And so we celebrate and we come together on what we call the Lord's day, Sunday, okay? It says this, "Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it because in it, he rested from all his work which God had created and made." So I want you to see the first thing that we're talking about, the first scripture, is God rested. God himself, the creator of the universe, the one who now he doesn't sleep, he doesn't slumber, he's all sufficient, he's all powerful. He set an example for mankind. After he created for 6 days, he took the seventh day, and the Bible says he rested because of the work that he had done in creating the earth and mankind in the first 6 days. Now, I want to go to Exodus chapter 31, verse 15. So, number one, God rested. Number two, we find out God commands us to rest. Because you remember that day that he sanctified, that seventh day that he set apart? Here's how he wants us to use it. Exodus 33, 15. "Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord." Why is it holy to the Lord? Because at the beginning of time, God set and sanctified this day apart. "Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death." Okay? So God is very serious about us taking a day of rest. Exodus 33, 14. So God rested, God commanded rest. Now, God offered rest in the Bible. In verse 14 of Exodus 33, "And he said," speaking of God, "my presence will go with you. And you know what I will give you? I will give you rest." Here's what I love about God. Anything that he commands from you, he also empowers you to have. He gives it to you. He will not command you to do anything that he will not supply you with everything that you need to do it. Because according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3, Peter says, "By his divine power, he has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness." So God will never call you to do something and then not empower you and supply you with what you need to do it. So God rested because he set the example. God commanded that we rest, but then God says, "I will give you the rest that you need." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for rest. We thank you that you are a good God and you give us great gifts, and we receive today what you want for us. In fact, right now, I want you just to open up your heart and say, God, I receive your word. I already say yes to everything that you're going to say. Whatever you want to do, God, my life is yours. It's surrendered to you. We love you today. Lord, I pray that my tongue would be like the pen of a ready writer, that I would speak only what you want spoken and I would do only what you want done. I surrender myself to you, Holy Spirit. I just say before all these people and before you, I need you. I can't do this on my own. I'm a weakened vessel, but through you, I believe that we can do all things. And so I pray that you would strengthen me to teach your people your word and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that I pray. Amen. You can be seated. So God rested, God commanded rest, and then God offers rest. But here's the thing is about rest, is that we live in a culture that celebrates being busy. It's weird. It's like we promote running yourself into the ground, and that the greatest badge of honor that you could wear is being busy. And we think that being busy, here's why we think that being busy is such a badge of honor, is because it makes us feel important. Yeah. Because if you're not busy, then obviously you're not important. If you're not busy, you obviously don't have much going. If you're not busy, you're obviously not making a lot of money. If you're not busy, people obviously aren't asking you to come hang out, and they don't want you to be a part of what they're doing, and so then you're left out. And so we have built this culture that celebrates busyness because busyness makes us feel important. And it makes us feel like we matter and like we're doing something. But the problem is we can be running around in circles being busy, and it will cause us to miss who God actually wants us to be. Because God said, I want you to take a day every single week and I want you to rest. And in fact, he said, I want to offer you rest. I want to extend rest to you. I don't want you to live without it because it's very important. It's very vital in your life that you would be a person that understands rest. But it makes us feel important so that we can tell someone we got a lot going on. In fact, just yesterday, Madison and I, we went down into Scottsboro and we were running some errands and we stopped by the local coffee shop there that we like. And I ran into someone I hadn't seen in a while and they said, hey, how's your summer been? And I almost said, oh, it's been busy. And then I thought for a second, I was like, why did I almost tell them that my summer has been busy? Because it makes us feel like we've got a lot going on. Instead, I said, actually, our summer's been pretty chill. It's been great. Because we've tried to be intentional this summer to not run ourselves into the ground, to take time, to rest, to relax. In fact, we decided this week, being July 4th, we weren't going to have service Wednesday night. We were going to take the whole week, and we were going to take it off, and we were going to rest. And then two of our children got sick. Isn't that how it goes, right? But at least we tried, right? And we've prepackaged this answer. We've canned this answer of, oh, I'm busy. Oh, it's busy. Oh, it's busy. I'm running here. I'm running there. And I understand there will be busy seasons. There's going to be times when your job is going to make you busy, when family's going to make you busy. I understand that. I'm not saying that you should never be busy. What I'm saying is don't let busyness be an excuse to not walk in the rest that God offers to you. We think that being wrapped up in work and preoccupied with something makes us have value. But from the beginning of time, God's been trying to show us how important rest is for our life. That's why God rested. Because, you know, if you have any understanding of theology, which is the study of God, you'll understand that there's a scripture that says, God neither sleeps nor does he slumber. That means that God never closes his eyes. He never stops looking over creation. He never stops protecting. He never stops blessing. He never stops being just. He never stops doing what God does because he doesn't need it. You see, we are finite in our bodies, in our minds, and in our person, but God is infinite. He's perfect. He's all sufficient. He doesn't need any help. And so therefore, God doesn't have to sleep. But the reality is this, you and I do need rest. And so God said, I'm going to model to people what I want them to do. I'm going to work for 6 days and then I'm going to rest because later I'm going to command that they rest and I'm going to actually punish them if they don't rest. And then I'm going to offer them to walk in rest. And so God created man on the sixth day. After he'd created the ocean and the trees and the stars and the animals and all this stuff, then God made Adam on the sixth day. He made Eve out of man. He made a woman. And on the seventh day, he rested. So imagine Adam gets created on the sixth day. He wakes up on the seventh day and he's like, what do I do? And God says, hang out, rest, relax, chill. Why? Because God was trying to show us, I want you to live from rest, not for rest. What we do is we work ourselves silly and we work ourselves ragged and we get so exhausted and so tired, not just in our body, not just in our mind, but in our very soul, that eventually we collapse into things that we don't actually need to be a part of. Because we're living for rest instead of from rest. But when you live from rest, you have energy. You have the sustenance that you need in your mind and your body and your soul to live how God wants us to live. Now, I want to say this. I want to give a precursor. I am not in any way, and I never will, promote laziness. I'm not saying it's okay to be lazy. God commanded 6 days of work and 1 day of rest. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, lazy hands make a man poor, but diligent hands, they bring wealth. So it's important that we be diligent. I would encourage you to work, especially I'm going to speak to all the men. The Bible says that if you do not provide for your household, you're worse than an unbeliever. If you don't provide food and clothing and shelter for your household. So it's very important. God wants us to work. But rest is what enables us to work hard. Rest is what empowers us and strengthens us and allows us to be effective in what it is that God has actually called us to do. So here's what rest does. I want you to get this. Rest replenishes me to being my full self. Because rest is the root word of restore. You will never be restored to your full potential, your full strength, your full ability until you learn to rest. Because if you will not rest, you will always run on fumes. If you will not rest, you will always come up lacking. You know, I've realized life takes it out of you. Parenting children takes it out of you. Being a good spouse takes it out of you. Having a job, it takes it out of you. Work wears you down. You have challenges within work relationships, challenges within your marriage, challenges with your children. Then disappointment comes. Something doesn't go the way that you wanted. Your car breaks down. You get sick. You know, hardships happen. You lose somebody that you love. And what happens is life wears you down. And it begins to take a wear and tear on your mind, on your body, and on your soul. But that's why you need rest to be restored. Because God doesn't want you to just run and run and run and run and run and become depleted. God says, I am offering you a place where you can come and you can find rest because I want you to have a restored soul, mind, and body. That's why he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Because if you are loving God, you're obeying him, you're spending time with him, he is the one that will restore your life, your body, your mind, and your soul. That's why it says in Psalm 23, David said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, which would be symbolic of rest. So listen to what it says that the shepherd does. He makes me lie down in green pastures. You know, there's some days that we have to make my four-year-old take a nap. She will say, I don't need one. I don't want one, but we say, no, you do need a nap because you are right now teetering on the edge of a maniac and you need some rest. And that's why the shepherd comes in and says, it's time to rest. And then it says this, he, speaking of the shepherd, restores my soul. Now, I want you to understand, you have a body, but you are a soul. Your body will not stand before Christ on the day of judgment when he's sitting on the judgment seat. It's your soul that will stand before Christ. And so often, we may be well rested in our body, but our soul is deteriorating. Yeah. Our soul is famished. It's hungry. It's tired. It's empty. And so that's why David said, my shepherd, Jehovah Rohi, he restores my soul. He brings it back to a full state of health. He replenishes the tank that has gotten empty because of the hardships of life. And he makes me to lie down and to rest. Do you know why he leads you beside still waters? Do you know why he restores your soul? Do you know why he makes you to lay down in green pastures? Because you need it. Yeah. Because you and I need it. Because not one of us are bulletproof. There's not anybody here that can go and go and go and go and go without stopping to rest your mind, your body, and your soul. Every person needs rest. That's why God commanded it. That is why God offers it. Not just our bodies, but our soul needs rest. Now, the question would be this. Okay, where do I find rest? Because it seems like no matter how much I try, I'm still tired. You can only find true rest in the one that offered it, God. That's why Jesus in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, he said to this, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So, Jesus promised it. So, if we are not experiencing rest, which restores our soul, it's because somewhere we're not coming to Jesus. We're not coming to him saying, I'm receiving that. I need that rest. And you may say, well, what do you mean by that? I literally mean you cannot live life apart from Christ and be full. In your soul, in your mind, and in your body. You know, rest isn't just taking vacation. And I'm a big proponent of vacation. I think it's great. I think we all need it. Rest isn't just sitting on the couch and binge watching Netflix. Rest is the lifestyle that Jesus wanted to welcome us into. It's not just a 1 week out of the year type of deal. You know, because we still have to work. We're still going to face challenges. You're still going to have difficulties in your life. I'm sorry. I wish I could say that you're not, but things are still going to happen. Your car's still going to break down. You're going to lose someone. Things aren't going to go right at work. Your children are still going to have a bad attitude. Things are not going to be perfect all the time. That's why Jesus said, come to me. I'll give you rest, because there's going to be things that you're going to go through every single day in your life. There's going to be trials. There's going to be tribulations. But Jesus also said this, be of good cheer. Take heart, because I've already overcome the world. That's why he says, come to me. If you're weary, if you're heavy laden, what does he offer? He offers rest. Because without rest, you can't be restored. So our soul and our body need rest. So here's what I want to do. I want to give you some facts about rest, both for our mind, our body, and for our soul. Number one is this. Rest is a commandment, not a suggestion. Yeah. You know, if you went to the doctor, it's like last night, Madison had taken the children to get their teeth cleaned at the dentist a few weeks ago. And when they went, the doctor told us that Zoe, our 4-year-old, she needed some extra attention to her teeth, meaning mom and dad need to do better at brushing her teeth, okay? Instead of just saying, Zoe, brush your teeth. You can judge me all you want. I got 5 children at home. At least those teeth are getting brushed. You know what I'm talking about? And so they said, here's the deal. She does need to learn how to brush her own teeth, but if you guys can every other night brush her teeth, that would be more than enough. She'll be fine. So last night, we're getting ready for bed, and I'm coming down the hallway to go to the boys' room to tuck them in, and Zoe comes out of the bathroom holding a toothbrush, and she said this to me. She said, you have to brush my teeth, doctor says. And so I took her toothbrush, and I brushed her teeth. If you go to the doctor, and the doctor, there may be some things that he would suggest. Oh, you could try cutting this out of your diet. You could try taking this medicine. You could try a little ibuprofen for that. But there's some things that a doctor doesn't suggest, he commands. Because he says, these are the doctor's what? Orders. You need to do this. So rest is not God going, hey, I think you should pay attention to this. I think you should think about this. I think you should, just consider the idea of taking some time off. I think you should think about coming to Jesus and letting him replenish your soul. Let him be your shepherd. Let him make you lie down in green pastures and let him restore your soul. It's not a suggestion. It's a commandment. The Bible says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. What is it? Why did he say keep it holy? Because God made it holy on the 7th day. And he's saying, you as a man, you as a woman, you as a human being, don't make it unholy what God has already made holy. He gave you a day for Sabbath, for rest, to just take a break. Your mind, your body, and your soul need it. So we cannot view rest as an option, or some people may not view it as an option. Some people may view rest as a luxury, right? Like, I don't have time to rest. I can't really do that. You need to rest. I'm not saying that you should confine yourself to the couch every weekend and never leave. You need to learn and you need to ask yourself this question. What is it that recharges me? I have an iPhone and a Samsung charger won't recharge it. only an iPhone charger will recharge this cell phone. Right? You have something that will recharge your mind, body, and your soul. For your soul, it's Jesus, only Jesus. For your mind, maybe it's crossword puzzles. Maybe it's reading a good book. For your body, maybe it's laying down on the couch and taking a nap one day a week instead of working yourself to the bone. Maybe it's actually going out and gardening or working in a flower bed or fishing or playing golf, my personal favorite. But you need to find out, what is it that recharges me? Because you were not made to go weeks and months on end without resting in your mind, your body, and your soul. So God commanded it. So therefore, if I neglect it, I'm rejecting his word and living in opposition to him. But we want to spiritualize it. Well, I'm not sinning. Sin simply means to miss the mark. And the mark that God set is to rest. That's why he offered it. If Jesus says, come to me and I'll give you rest, and we're like, I don't need rest, then we're literally saying, I don't need what you have. None of us are without the need of rest. Some of you, maybe the way you need to rest is shut your phone off. Just turn it. In fact, let me show you a little secret here that I learned not too long ago. If you hold down, if you have an iPhone and you hold down these two buttons, it will give you this screen right here. And it's got four options. You can cancel, you can make an emergency call, you can have a medical ID, or you can slide it right there. And guess what? When you do that, no one can call you. Nobody can text you. Facebook can't distract you from what you need to be doing or who you need to be talking to. I get convicted when I think about how many times did my children talk to me or my wife speak to me and I didn't hear them because I was more engaged with a device and someone that's miles and miles away than I am with them. It's okay to turn your phone off. And you may say, well, but what if someone needs me? I'm going to let you in on a little secret. You ready for this? No one outside of your home needs 1,000% access to you. That is a foreign concept to our generation. Because we think I need to have my phone with me all the time. Because what if someone needs me? What if someone has this? What if someone has that? Respectfully, there may be emergencies, there may be things, but the only people that deserve 1,000% access to you are the people that you live with, the people within your house. You know what? If you have to wait, or if they have to wait a few hours for a response from a text message, they'll probably live. It'll be okay. If they can't call, you know, hey, I'm so sorry, I missed you. It's like, are they your God? Are they that important? And I'm not saying that we should live mindlessly and never be available to help people. What I'm saying is this: make sure that the people in your home aren't suffering because of the people outside of your home demand more attention than the people inside of your home. Make sure that you realize the only people that deserve 1,000% access to me, and that's why if you ever have a meeting with me at a restaurant or in my office, my phone will be sitting on the counter, but the only name that I will stop the meeting and answer for is Madison. Anybody else, you deserve my attention because you scheduled that meeting. I'm going to give you my undivided attention. But if it's Madison, I'm going to answer. Why? Because she's the only person that deserves 1,000% access to me. And I think that that's how we should live our lives. And I think that this right here robs you of rest more than you know. Yeah. I know sometimes it's robbed me of going to sleep at a good time. Because somebody called, somebody texted. I went down, watching this guy woodwork. Or you ever watch those people build those houses out in the middle of the jungle? You know what I'm talking about? And all of a sudden you're like, it's midnight and I'm watching some cat in Indonesia make bricks out of mud. Like, what am I doing, right? It can rob you of rest. Your boss doesn't deserve 1,000% access to you. Your friends don't deserve 1,000% access to you. Your mom doesn't deserve 1,000% access to you. But the people that live inside of your house do. Now, if you're still living at home, your mom deserves 1,000% access. Something I had to learn is this, if I can be vulnerable with you. Sometimes I'm not taking the day off as long as my phone is on. It takes me turning my phone off to actually have the day off. Because if my phone's on, anyone that has my number has access to me. Any app that it could try to rob me of time. And I'm not saying that we should start a bonfire and let's all throw our phones in it. What I'm saying is it's okay to turn it off every now and then, because rest is not a suggestion. Rest is a commandment. And your body needs rest to thrive. And if something is robbing you of rest, identify that thing. Maybe it's not your phone. Maybe it's the TV. Maybe it's a computer. Maybe it's not a device at all. You know what? Maybe it's a hobby. Maybe it's the very thing that you claim this is what you're doing to replenish, but you've given too much to it, and now it's robbing you from actually being a person of rest. So whatever it is, if it's robbing you of rest, realize it's hindering me in being obedient to the commandment that God gave my mind, my body, and my soul to rest. Okay? Number two, you'll never be at your best until you learn to rest. Because rest will always keep you from operating at your full, or a lack of rest will always keep you from operating at your fullest potential. Have you ever experienced this as a fan? I know that we've got a lot of football fans here. And listen, it's not too far away, and we will have SEC football on every single weekend, and it's going to be great. There's going to be chili. There's going to be jalapeno poppers. There's going to be buffalo chicken dip. There's going to be football on Monday, on Thursday, on Saturday, and on Sunday, and we'll thank God for it, right? At least those of us that are football fans will. But have you ever experienced this? Your favorite football team has a big game coming up, right? This, it matters. The whole season hinges on this game. If we get this win, things are looking good for us. But your best player got banged up at the last game. They've got a sore knee. They've got a sprained ankle. They've got a pulled calf muscle. They've got, just a strained shoulder, something going on. And so therefore, when it comes game time, the announcers will say, so-and-so is a game time decision. And they'll show him over there running around on the sidelines. And you know, as a real fan, that dude is not going to play. Right? Like, you've watched enough. It's like, it's just giving them something to talk about. He's a game time decision. Coaches said he looked pretty good in practice, but he only worked out in, you know, shorts this week, no pads or whatever. And you're like, that dude's not playing. And then sometimes they'll actually give him the option to play and they'll get in there. But you can see from the very beginning, he's not at his top speed. He's not at his best. He's not fully recovered. He's still favoring that ankle. He's just not as strong. He just can't keep up. And so what do? They pull him out of the game, right? But sometimes what happens is a guy gets a little banged up, but the team has a bye week in between their last game and their big game. Because that's what a lot of teams do, is they schedule that bye week before their biggest rival. And so they have a bye week. Why do they put that bye week before their biggest rival? Because they want everybody rested and they want everybody healthy. And if they don't have everybody rested and healthy, guess what? They're not at their best because they didn't have time to rest. I know that's cheesy, but you're going to remember it. You're not at your best as a human being, as a child of God, as a husband, as a father, as a mother, as an employee or an employer. You are not at your best until you realize, I need my soul restored. I need my mind renewed. I need my body replenished. So rest replenishes you, and it enables you to operate at your peak potential. You know why? Because God doesn't want you to operate from a place of lack. In fact, that's why Jesus said, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I came that you can have life and life more abundant. Why? Because God wants you to operate from a place of abundance. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. If I find myself lacking in life at all, in any area, somewhere I have not allowed him to shepherd me. But when I allow him to shepherd me completely and lead me, and where does the first place that he leads you? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not lack. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Why? Because the first thing that he's going to do as your shepherd is tell you to rest, because he wants you to live from rest, not for rest. Just like when God created Adam on the sixth day, on the seventh day, he said, let's start with a rest day. Because I want you healthy. I want you full. I want you restored. You may wonder, why have I been off in my game? Why have I been off in, as a husband, off as a parent, off as an employee, off as a friend? It's because you haven't learned how to rest. If you'll rest, you'll be at your best. Some people, you'll notice though, and maybe you've been here before, they're getting plenty of sleep, but they're still tired. They're resting all the time. They just sit around and watch movies and scroll Facebook, and they sleep 9 hours a day, but they're still exhausted. You know why? Their soul needs rest. Their soul is not replenished. Now, there's other people, they rest in God all the time. But their body is go, 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 and they need to learn how to relax, how to pick up a hobby. Learn how to have a good time. It's okay. God wants you to, because your mind, your body, and your soul, they all need rest. Number three, a lack of rest will restrict you. It will keep you from moving freely. It will keep you from going where you need to go and doing what you need to do. Because when you refuse to rest and you say things like, I don't have time, or I'll sleep when I'm dead, that's a favorite of most workaholics, right? You are hamstringing yourself and playing a vital role in the destruction of yourself when you refuse to rest. I want you to realize this. Being willing to pause and take a break is not a sign of weakness. It's actually the very thing that's going to strengthen you and enable you to go and be who you've been called to be and do what you've been called to do. In fact, it says in the book of Isaiah, chapter 41, verse 31, but those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and they won't grow weary. They'll walk and they won't faint. But guess what? If you don't stop and wait on the Lord, you will run, but you'll faint. You may walk, but you'll eventually get weary. But when you wait on the Lord and you allow him to refresh and restore and renew your soul, guess what? He will renew your strength. He'll give you new strength over and over again. And I love to think of it this way. He doesn't just renew your strength in that moment. He continually renews your strength. Yeah. It's like you don't run out of gas. He keeps filling you up. But every now and then, which I would like to look at is every single day, I need to stop and go, I need to wait on the Lord, because I don't want to live this day in my strength, because my strength runs out. But God's doesn't. It's eternal. It's infinite. And that's why Isaiah says, if you wait on the Lord, you'll mount up with wings like eagles and you will soar. You'll go higher and higher. But as long as you are walking and operating in your own strength, you'll stay on ground level. You won't grow higher, you won't get better, and you will not renew your strength. You will eventually deplete your strength because your strength is finite. So God's plan is that you would continually renew your strength, never running empty, but always refilling yourself by resting in him. That's why he instituted the Sabbath. He even demonstrated it for us after his creation. So that's what we need to do, is we need to rest. But I want to show you something. I want to show you four things that a lack of rest will hinder in your life. And these may be, you know how, if, again, I'm going to use a doctor analogy. If you go to the doctor, what are they going to ask you? This week, I told you guys, one of my children was sick. It ended up, he had an ear infection. So we went to the urgent care there in Rainesville, and they were absolutely amazing. They do a very good job, and they took good care of us. They're very nice. They're very helpful. They're very quick, and they got us back there. And you know what they asked? What are his symptoms? What's going on? Now, these four things, if you can, Donna, please go ahead and put those four things that a refusal to rest will hinder. These are going to be your symptoms. If you find yourself struggling in any of these areas, this is God putting his finger on it and saying, you need to rest. You need to take a break. In your mind, in your body, and in your soul, you need to rest. You need to take a break. Number one, a refusal to rest hinders your vision. The Bible says that where there is no vision, the people perish. Think about it. If you stay awake for a really long time, let's say you're driving and you're driving for 8, 10, 12 hours, what happens? Eventually, your vision begins to become hindered because you have not stopped and you have not taken a break. In fact, not too long ago, I was driving, I believe it was my dad's truck, and we had started driving in Seymour, Indiana, and we were driving back home, and when we stopped, we got out, we went through the drive-thru at the restaurant, so we never turned the car off or anything, and then I took over, and I started driving, and it kept giving me a warning like every 5 minutes, you need to stop, and you need to rest, you need to stop, and you need to rest. The car was literally telling me this, you need to pull over, you need to stop, but I wasn't the one that had been driving the whole time. My dad had been driving, and then I was driving, so, you know, it wasn't like I'd been going, but I mean, honestly, 4 hours is not too long for anyone to drive anyways. But apparently the car was worried about us. But if you go for too long, it will become dangerous to continue driving. Yeah. Because your vision is one thing that will be impaired. And so if you find yourself, you're like, I don't have any vision. I don't have this word from the Lord of where I'm going. I don't have dreams that I want to chase, that I want to accomplish. I don't have things that I want to do. I'm just kind of ho-hum going through life. There's probably a good chance that you need to rest. Because if you'll rest, you know what God will do? He'll give you new vision. Yeah. He will mount you up on a wings like an eagle. You know one thing about soaring like an eagle is you get a higher perspective. And I was really worried this thing was going to fall over on me. I'm not going to lie. Because I didn't plan to do this. It may still fall over. It's okay. But I can now see, I can see some of y'all's bald spots that I couldn't see before. Right? Why? Because I have a higher perspective. And I'm going to be honest with y'all. It's hotter up here than it was down there. Okay? Because it's warm. So I'm not going to stay up here for too long. But what happens is when you go to a higher place, you get a new aspect of vision that you didn't have before. And so when you rest, God takes you higher and he says, I'm going to allow you to see things. In fact, anytime in the Bible that they went to a higher place, people always came back with a different perspective. Yeah. When the disciples went with Jesus to the Mount of Transfiguration, they saw things that they had never seen before. When Moses went up on Mount Sinai and God spoke to him, he saw things that he had never seen before. If you will learn to rest, God will take you higher and he will increase your vision and allow you to see things that you had never seen before. Yeah. Things that you couldn't, I can see things from up here that I couldn't see from down there. And in the same way, when we will rest, God will actually, some of y'all are worried how am I going to get off of it. Don't worry, I'm an athlete, okay? It's okay. So a lack of rest will hinder your vision. It will cloud it where you can't see things clearly. Remember we talked about a few weeks ago, I can see clearly now because the pain is gone. God wants you to operate with clear vision, that when you view things, you don't view them through a lens of pain because you've taken time to rest and God has restored you. That when you view things, you don't view them through a place of hurt and through a place of insecurity or through a place of anger or through a place of malice. You have a clear vision to see how God wants you to see because you've said, God, I want you to renew my strength. I want you to restore my soul. The second thing that a lack of rest will hinder is your strength, obviously. That's like I'm going back to the football analogy. The reason they only play one game a week is because the body can only withstand so much and it needs time to rest to get ready for that next game. If you just go and you go and you go in your mind and in your body and in your soul, eventually you're not going to have the strength that you once had. In fact, when people have like a workout regimen, they work out arms one day, chest one day, back one day, legs one day, cardio one day. Why? Because they're giving the other parts of their body a chance to rest and to recover so that they can regain their strength. But if you just go and go and go and go, eventually the strength that God wants you to have, it's going to be hindered. It's going to be lessened. And you're not going to be as strong as you once were. Strong for what? Things like judgment. When you go without rest, your judgment is hindered, meaning your ability to make good decisions. Yeah. Your ability to, with confidence, say, I know that this is what we are supposed to do. In fact, I was reading in the book of Acts this week, and it's telling about Paul, and it's talking about Barnabas, and it's talking about Silas. And there was three times in this chapter that it says, and it seemed good to them to do this, so they did it. What is that? And it never says it was wrong. God didn't approve of it. What it means to me is this, that their judgment was good. Yeah. That they had the ability to look at something and go, this is right, this is wrong. I believe that that's how, there's some things, yes, you need to fast about. Yes, you need to pray about. Some things that you just need, you have to know, right? But I think that God doesn't want you, he wants you to be able to make a clear judgment concerning things. There's some things you don't have time to fast and pray about. It's like there's a decision that has to be made right now, and you're like, can you give me, 48 hours to fast and pray about this? No, it's immediate. It needs to be happen right now. If you don't have clear judgment, you may make the wrong decision. Yeah. If you make the wrong decision, it could affect the course of your life. If it affects the course of your life, it affects the course of the life of your family and your friends and everybody that you know. And so it's important that you have clear judgment. But if you don't rest, your judgment will be impaired. Yeah. The fourth thing is self-control. In fact, I was always taught this when I was in ministry school. Never make decisions when you're tired, when you're angry, or when you're hungry, because you are sure to make the wrong decision. So our self-control is impaired when we don't rest. Meaning, if I'm rejuvenated, I'm full, I'm rested, I'm restored, I'm able to say no to this vice, to this thing that I know is not going to be beneficial. It's not going to be rewarding for my life. But when I go without rest, all of a sudden, my judgment and my self-control are not where they are supposed to be. And I'll give in to things that I wouldn't have given into 24 hours ago. Yeah. I wouldn't have said yes to, because I would have had the self-control. Now, you may say, self-control, are you talking about like willpower? No, self-control is something that the Holy Spirit enables you to do, to take control over your own flesh and to say no to what is wrong and to say yes to what is right. And so when we go without rest, our self-control becomes lower. And so then we end up responding out of our flesh instead of responding the right way. We end up saying yes to something that we know is not beneficial. It's not good for us. But because we haven't rested, it brings a hindrance in our self-control. Now, science will tell us this. If you can go to that final slide, please, Donna. These are scientific proven effects of sleep deprivation. Okay? Now, I want to apply these not just yes to our body, because your body needs rest. Okay? So if you're only getting 3-4 hours of sleep a night, do something about it. If your phone is keeping you awake, or the TV or something else is keeping you and making you to not be able to sleep, identify that and try to deal with it, okay? Because your body needs rest. But also I want to look at this spiritually. So these are the effects of sleep deprivation in the central system. Cognitive, this may be small if you can't read it. I'm going to read it to you. The first one under central is cognitive impairment. That means your faculties of how well, you can make decisions, like we were talking about, your judgment. Memory lapses or loss. Impaired moral judgment can literally be traced back to not getting enough sleep. You may say, I don't know why I keep doing what I don't want to do. I know it's wrong, but it's like I just don't have the ability to say no to it. You're probably not resting in your mind, your body, and your soul. Because if you would, you would have a stronger moral compass and the strength that you need to say no to what is trying to pull you out of God's plan for your life. Severe yawning, duh. Hallucination. Listen to this. Symptoms similar to ADHD. You may not even be ADHD, but now all of a sudden you can't keep your attention on anything. Why? Because you're not rested. Yeah. So your judgment is impaired. Your vision is impaired. Your self-control is impaired. In the lymph nodes, it can lead to poor immune system function. Why am I sick all the time? Because you're not resting. In fact, one of the greatest things I had to learn when I became an adult, because my parents always made me do this, is as a kid, I'd get sick, I'd get better, and they would make me rest the day after I got better. Anybody else's parents make them do that? You're like, I'm better, I'm fine, I want to run, I want to play, I want to get in the pool. And they're like, no, you need a day of rest. And now as an adult, what happened is when I was young, I would get better and I would go right back to work, and you know what I'd do? I'd get sick again. Not every time, but sometimes I would get sick again because I did not allow my body to fully repair and rest and restore. And some people are staying sick all the time because you won't rest. Naturally, or spiritually, okay? Because again, you may be sleeping 10 hours a night, but if your soul is not getting rest, it can bleed over into your natural life. Your pancreas, risk of type 2 diabetes can literally come from sleep deprivation. Your heart, it can make an irregular heart rate or risk of heart disease. I want you to realize, spiritually speaking, a lack of rest will affect your heart. Yeah. It eventually will catch up to you. Just like if you went 48 hours, I don't know if you can even do that. Just if you went hours and hours upon hours without sleep, 24 hours, 36 hours, whatever it may be. If you went that without sleeping, eventually it's going to take a wear on your body. In your soul, if you don't rest, it will eventually take root in your heart. Muscular, it can bring aches, tremors, decreased reaction. Other, it can actually bring growth suppression, decreased temperature, risk of obesity. I want to focus on this one, growth suppression. When you refuse to rest, you are literally hindering your spiritual growth, your well-being as a believer in Jesus Christ. Everybody of us would agree, we need to be growing. We need to be coming closer to God. Well, one of the ways that you do that is by resting, waiting on the Lord, letting him renew your strength. Let him give you those eagle's wings to soar. Help him to so that you can run and not grow weary, walk and not faint. But it all comes back to this. Are you willing to rest? Are you willing to rest? And you know what? Rest is a very humbling thing because it says, I'm not bulletproof. I'm not the bionic man or woman that I thought I was. I need to be replenished. Why? Because that's how God set it up. And if we need it, God gives it. And if God gives it, then it's imperative that we receive it. And that's true for anything. So my encouragement to you today, don't be afraid to rest. Don't be that person that's like, oh, we've been busy and that's such a badge of honor. It's okay to go, hey, I'm taking today off. Why? Because I'm going to rest. I'm going to allow God to restore my soul today. I'm not going to just run here and run there. I'm going to find out what is hindering my vision, my judgment, my self-control. What is hindering, you know, me growing? What is hindering my thought life? What's hindering me from my moral judgment, my ability to say no to things that I know are truly not good for me? It's all because of a refusal to rest. And here's the deal. You may say, okay, all right, you've convinced me I need to rest. How do I do it? You do it by coming to God. Naturally, you know what? How you do it? You do it by just saying, I'm not doing anything today. I'm going to work in the garden. I'm going to sit in the hammock. You know, you want to learn the art of relaxation? Buy a hammock. Some of y'all need to go to Walmart after here. I don't know if they even have hammocks. You need to buy you a hammock and string it up in the yard and lay in it because you don't know how to stop going. You have to or you'll run yourself into the ground. Some of you, maybe you do a great job of relaxing. Maybe, you know, you love Sundays because you go home and you just chill out and you relax. But you wake up on Monday and your soul's still in turmoil. You need to make sure that you're allowing God to restore your soul. That he's leading where you go and what you do. Because if you allow him to do that, trust me, he'll make true on his promise and he will restore your soul to the place that it needs to be. Amen? Stand to your feet with me today. I think that it's important that we repent for not resting. Because if it's something that God told us to do and we're not doing it, we're wrong. Here's the good news about being wrong. God will always make you right if you just ask him. So if you would, just close your eyes. If you want, you can bow your head. Maybe you just want to lift your hands right there where you are. Maybe you want to come find a place in the altar where you can meet with God and you can allow him to restore your soul. That's more than welcome. In fact, it's encouraged. I encourage you anytime in this house that you feel drawn to come to the altar and just bow before the Lord and have a time with him. No one's going to judge you. No one's going to make fun of you. Their opinion doesn't matter. This is a place where you are free to meet with God however and whenever you want or you need to, because God is here to meet with you. In fact, God is more eager to answer you than you are to ask sometimes. And so just right now, say, God, would you restore my soul? Maybe you need to repent. Say, God, forgive me for not resting. I have been a busybody. I've been running here and running there, and my soul is depleted, my body is depleted, my mind is weak, my vision is impaired, my judgment is impaired, my self-control is impaired. God, I need a break. I need you to help me. Would you restore my soul? He can come in like water breaking through a dam. He can break through those things that are holding you back. So just surrender yourself to him right now. Father, I thank you that you are a restorer of souls. You will replenish us. And I think about this story where, I think I shared it last week, where Elijah, he ran out into the wilderness and he just wanted to die. He wanted it all to end. He was done. He was at his wit's end. And God sent an angel and he said, rise, eat and drink. And he made him a cake and he made him some water. And he went back to sleep and the angel woke him up again and said, rise, eat and drink because the journey's too great for you. I want you to know this. Without the supplement that God is going to give to your life and the sustenance that he's going to give, the journey's too great for you. You have to learn how to rest. Rest in him. Hope in him. God, we just say we put our hope and our rest in you. In fact, there's a scripture that says we rest in hope. So right now, Father, I pray that you would restore hope into our life. And that we would rest in it, and that we would be replenished, and that we would not miss what you want to do or who you want us to be. But Father, I thank you that everything that we need is always found in you, and it's in you alone. And I thank you for the invitation that Jesus gave to us that said, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you because my yoke is easy. My burden's light. Father, we receive that call and we respond to it today. And I pray for rest for every soul. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you, lift up his countenance on you, may he keep you in his peace, may he smile all over you, and may you rest in the Lord, and may he restore your soul in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. We love you so much.